Directors of the Medical Missionary Work. Battle Creek, Michigan, April 10, 1901. To the directors of the medical missionary work. Dear brethren, many temptations will come to the workers in our sanitariums, and especially to the physicians. Our sanitariums are established to break down the prejudice which exists in the world against the truth for this time. How important, then, that those connected with such an institution be free from reproach in any line. How important that the physicians refrain from paying special attention to the young lady nurses. How important that loose principles be not allowed to prevail. The world will be quick to see the least departure from the high standard claimed for the medical missionary work. One act of misdoing will undo for years the good that might have been accomplished if the high standard of Christianity had been maintained. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Proverbs 16, verse 16. It has been opened to my mind that there must be a purging of our sanitariums. Unless we strive earnestly for reformation and perfection, there will be found among our physicians and managers men who are not sanctified, soul, body, and spirit, men who should have no place in the work of God. Great harm will come to our sanitariums if in any department young girls are employed who are vain and foolish, easily led into false paths. It is a great mistake to admit into our sanitariums young, frivolous persons. Those employed should have qualifications which recommend them as likely to become useful, capable workers. Some of the younger girls being trained as nurses at St. Helena are not of a character to do honor to the sanitarium. They are giddy, frivolous, unchristlike. They exert an influence detrimental to the Christ-like influence which should pervade such an institution. Many of our younger sanitariums are in danger of becoming corrupted by the loose, careless behavior of physicians toward the young ladies employed as nurses and helpers. We need to become alarmed lest by his wiles Satan shall disgrace our work and hinder the great good that should be accomplished. The matron of a sanitarium should be very kind, but as firm as a rock to principle. The physicians should be upright, trustworthy men. There are those who have excellent abilities and who are supposed to be standing true to principles. But the representation brought before me of the condition of things in our institutions is a very sad one. In the institutions which should stand clear and bright and holy before the Lord, there is found perversity and unrighteousness. There is a dead fly in the ointment. Those connected with them have a knowledge of the truth. They have opportunity to perfect a Christian character. But many do not practice the virtues which would develop the signs for God in this age of corruption and wickedness. The spiritual perception is clouded. They have not a sense of the sinfulness of sin. They dishonor God because they are not willing to walk in the light of His countenance. God grant that every man and woman given a place in our institutions shall exercising a sanctified influence. When a man is sanctified by the truth, when he keeps his capabilities pure and holy, he acts as the Lord's helping hand. But when there is a stain on his soul, when his thoughts are defiled, when he follows the loose, corrupting principles of the world, doing that which is unbecoming in a Christian, he is a shame and a reproach to the institution with which he is connected, and God despises him. The vessel that might be a vessel unto honor is defiled. The terrible results of his evil course should be plainly set before him, and unless he repents, giving evidence that he realizes the sinfulness of sin, he should be separated from the institution. In the past, such ones have been born with too long, and instead of being separated entirely from the work, they have been sent to some other institution. They have been sent out without a statement being made to those where they were to go as to why the change was made. They carry with them the same sins which made their work unacceptable in the place from which they came. God records those who send forth such workers as unfaithful stewards. The men selected to take part in our institutions should be men of solid, virtuous character. Men who do not carry with them a corrupted morality. Men who keep the way of the Lord.
God will not commit his glory to a man whose soul temple is defiled with lustful desires and practices, and who, closing his eyes to his danger and the danger of others, has exalted himself to positions which command authority. Such a man, by his plausible words, deceives young girls, and though no actual crime may be committed, they are irretrievably wronged. Though married, he pays attentions to young girls who are foolish enough to accept them, leading them to think that the words he speaks are wisdom and truth. He may have talents which, if not perverted, would enable him to stand in the courts of the Lord. But through the deceitfulness of sin, the spiritual perceptions are paralyzed. The fine gold is tarnished. The corrupted morality that is being brought in is destroying the sacredness of the institutions established to honor and glorify God. A man, though married, instead of using his talents to help his wife to stand by his side, selects a young girl as his helper, to the injury of himself and the one selected. Thus he places in peril an institution which, as God's sanctuary, should stand forth without a taint of corruption. Evil workers are insinuating themselves into the hearts and minds of inexperienced youth who suppose that they know more than they really do. Because of the preference shown them, their pride is encouraged, and the love of God is driven from the heart. Angels of God are seeking to impress the hearts of these deceived ones, but the message of grace sent them is not heeded. Its way to the heart is hindered by the words of men who might better remember that for every word they speak, they will be called to give an account. In the assembly of the saints, while Christ seeks to make the words spoken a savor of life unto life, the foolish words that have been spoken come up before the mind and counteract the influence of the Spirit of God. Oh, it is such a pity that Satan has so many helpers in those who ought to act as Christ's helping hand in encouraging the youth to reach a high standard. Those who should be a power in bringing souls to the truth are allowing Satan to use them to spoil the religious experience of those with whom they associate. Their hearts are tainted, corrupted, and defiled. Adulterers in heart, they lead astray those who have no suspicion that thus Satan is working to destroy them. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from iniquity. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16, verse 2, 3, 5-7. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in heart. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Psalm 125, verse 4, 5. The benefit that truth is to us depends not so much on the knowledge we gain by study as on the purity of our purpose and the earnestness of our faith. Merely to read the instruction given in the Word of God is not enough. We are to read with meditation and prayer, filled with an earnest desire to be helped and blessed. And the truth we learn must be applied to the daily experience. Those who have a true realization of the subtlety of Satan's devices for these last days will walk with fear and trembling, in great humility, at every step seeking divine guidance. Angels of God will instruct them. The Holy Spirit opens to the humble and contrite in heart the rich treasures of truth. A fountain has been opened for Judah and Jerusalem, in which we may wash and be clean. He who will purify his soul by obeying the truth will see and appreciate the love and mercy with which God has strewn the pathway of his children. He will realize that the paths of human devising lead to eternal ruin. Those who are engaged in medical missionary work must daily put on Christ, else they will not be clothed with the robe of his righteousness. The physicians and managers in our sanitariums need to understand that God holds them accountable to lead those with whom they are connected in the way of truth and purity. I am instructed to say that God calls for greater purification and sanctification in his institutions. He is not pleased with the way in which the work is carried forward in our sanitariums. He calls for a cleansing, a purification. Those connected with his institutions are to reach a far higher standard. The plans of work and the manner of working must be entirely changed. All superficiality is to be put away. All cheap pretense of serving God is to cease.
What a terrible thing it is for those who should be shepherds of the flock to be wolves in sheep's clothing, devouring the sheep of the Lord's pasture. The question to be answered now is, what shall be done to purify the camp of Israel, that the Lord may not utterly forsake his people because of their sins? As a sharp, two-edged sword, the word of God must cut away all the works of unrighteousness. This word comes into sharp collision with the hereditary and cultivated tendencies of men, whose characters must be entirely transformed, else they will never see the kingdom of God. God calls upon his people to be pure and perfect, as true as steel to principle. He calls upon them to repent of their sins and seek earnestly for a clean, new heart. In short, the words spoken by Christ to Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, are to be echoed by God's messengers. Ye must be born again. You must learn the ABC of acceptable service. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 7, 3. There is hope for us in God. He is faithful who has promised. His purpose for us will be fulfilled if we but do our part. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. When those who have so much and such great light walk in accordance with this light, the mind will be filled with high and holy thoughts. Pure and sacred will be the meditations of the heart. The great plan will be the theme of conversation. Then will the truth go forth as a lamp that burneth, and God will be glorified in his believing people.